It's good. Amen. Well, this sister preaching's just been great. Just steering us up. Man, I'm telling you, I think my bucket was full the first night I was here. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 17. Very familiar scripture that we oftentimes preach from. I've heard, I guess, ever since I've been saved, quite a few messages out of the book of 1 Samuel 17. We have here a very familiar story. And I just want to read a couple of verses here. And if you look there with me, verse number 32, the Bible says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And then if you'll drop down a few verses there in verse 42, the Bible says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Now in this story here, we just look at a few things. It's a story, I guess, that's familiar with a lot of us. And we need to be careful sometimes. We come across scripture like this, or a portion of the scripture where a story is told over and over, or we hear it long enough, we get too familiar with it. And when we do, a lot of time we miss the truth that's in there. We miss something that God's trying to show us. And of course, it's not only a story of familiarity, but it's a story of faith. And I believe that's why it's important. It's a story that it was impossible for men to do. But the Bible says that, you know, nothing shall be impossible with our God. And I'm glad, you know, I'm standing here tonight because nothing is impossible with our God. You know, you're here tonight because nothing is impossible with our God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that I serve a God with whom nothing is impossible. But I'll tell you, this story is about a battle in the Valley of Elah, the Philistines' champion, Goliath. You know, the Bible calls him a champion, never was defeated. I mean, he wasn't just labeled a champion. He worked his way. I mean, he fought many battles, I'm sure. And he probably, you know, fought more than most people then. But you know what? He never lost the battle. That's how he became a champion. He was invincible. And not only that, but when I look at this, talking about him, how big he was, about 9 to 10 feet tall. And I look at him, and he had a coat of mail, and I figured it up. It's about 100 pounds that he wore of just nothing but brass mail, that iron mail. And then only that, but his shield averaged, you know, a man couldn't even carry his shield. This man's spear had a head of 12 pounds. And you know what? He sends a challenge into the camp of the Israelites and says, "Send me a man to come out and fight." And you know what? The Bible said when Saul heard this, he put his tail between his legs and he ran. And you know what? The Bible says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, David, the youngest of Jesse's boys, he's just a farm boy. I mean, he's just a boy way on the backside of nowhere. Probably never came to town. Never really actually had any, you know, a heyday in the town. But he spent a lot of time out there with his daddy's sheep. He was just a farm boy. But that one day, according to the plan of God, his daddy, Jesse, sent him some lunch to his brother. And when he got there, he heard all the commotion. He heard the voice of that Goliath. He said, "Come on." He said, "You Baptist baby beanies." He said, let's fight. He said, "You come out." He said, and all the men of Israel fled, the Bible says, and they were sore afraid. And you know, while everyone else ran, David just stood his ground. He said, they thought the little boy froze. They thought he just couldn't. And somebody said, "Go fetch him. He's going to get himself killed." And maybe one of his brothers said, "David, you've just been here a little while, and we've been here a long time. And you know what? You're not going to be able to stand against this giant." You know, and right there he said, "What can a runt like you do with a giant so big?" And David might have said, "Yes, I'm the little brother." He said, "But I'll tell you what," he said, "you know, I may be little, but when God is in it, it's big." Amen? Yeah. He said, you know, some folks, you know, just like that, they're just big on the outside and little on the inside. You know, I'd rather be little on the outside and big on the inside. Amen? Yeah. I'll tell you, we need some folks tonight that'll just be big on the inside for God. Yeah. David, you know, stood his ground that day, and I appreciate the fact that this man, this young man, he went over to the giant and he did the work that everybody didn't want to do. But you know, Saul doubted David, and he thought David couldn't fight the giant. The Bible says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Amen. The Bible said God chooses the foolish things. You think about that. He used the jawbone of an ass to whip a bunch of people. I mean, God don't need too much. Amen. If He could call a rooster to go and send judgment on a preacher. If he could take a donkey and cause a false prophet to be defeated. I'll tell you what. You remember that story about that donkey. Got in the hard place. And He got that donkey to turn around. He kept turning around. And finally, he smoked that donkey. Balaam did it. Said, "Listen here, you ass. You need to go in the right direction." And I'm sure the Bible said the donkey spoke to him. Now, if that donkey would have spoke to him, he might have said this. He said, "Who's the ass here?" Amen. And I want to tell you, sometimes I want to tell you tonight, folks, there are people in this world, you know what? They'd be better off just to get out of the ministry. They'd be better off not to go out and throw the Bible and talk all this trash. Amen. I'll tell you what tonight, folks, God uses the small things, the weak things, the despised things. And thank God, I'm looking on the crowd that maybe there's some here tonight. Hey, you might think you're nothing, but I'll tell you what, that's the best quality in case you can have tonight. Oh, I tell you, it took a boy to do a man's job. So God used a boy. You think about that. A day that a boy got the victory over the Philistine champion. You know, I think about another boy that went down to Jerusalem, 12 years old, and they found him there in the temple. You remember he was preaching. Amen. 12. Boy, what an example for you 12-year-olds. Amen. Just to cut loose today and use that ability that God has given you to preach. You say, "Why would I want to do that?" Well, God sometimes sends a boy to do a man's job. I want to preach to you about that thought. A boy sent to do a man's job. Yeah, let me just say this though. 12-year-olds, don't let them dead weights in church weigh you down. Amen. You got something in church, man? I'll tell you what. Just go ahead and just step out forth like David did for the Lord, and God will use you. Get up and do something for God. I mean, listen, there's a boy, you know, to do a man's job. There was no man that could do it, so he had to do it. He had to do a man's job. You know what? You're never too young to get started tonight. Amen. Young people, you're never too young. Listen, somebody got this false idea that church is a grown-up thing. No, it ain't. It's for everybody. Amen. Amen. It's for you young people. You need to get in this thing as quickly as you can. Some of us threw half of our life away. Man, how much more you could do for God starting up at a right young age. Amen. A boy sent to do a man's job. I'll tell you, against the most unlikely choice, God used David. I want to just give you four things that I believe that qualified him to be used of God. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 29. The Bible says there in verse 29, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" You know, I can identify with that. I'm the sixth son out of six boys. I'm the youngest. In the Navajo, they call him, just like the white people, they call it peon. That's what I was. Navajo, they call it nuk-ish-chai. And you know what? That means not worth anything. And I'll tell you what, God decided one day to raise up that not worth anything to be Baptist preacher. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a big joke on my brothers. My brother was always doing something. But you know what? When you're youngest, you come out the meanest because everybody picks on you. You're always the example. You're always the one, you know, that everybody wants to try something on. But you know what? I thought about that here when they said, David, the brother came up and he told him, he said, "What are you doing here?" And he said this, he said, "Is there not a cause?" I want to say he had a visionary spirit. This boy had a spirit that was different from the rest. He saw that there was a need. David said, "What have I not done?" You know what? A lot of times we're not careful. We knock down the young people in the church. I got a young man, Jonathan. He's going to get married to Jessica. And you know what? Everybody was surprised when Jonathan announced his engagement that day, Christmas Day. And he showed the ring and he sent a picture of it to us and showed us how he put his, you know, he knelt down in front of the young lady and he proposed and everything. And then all of Jonathan's aunts, they kind of threw him off guard. All of a sudden they said, "Well, Jessica's like this. She can't cook. She can't do this." So I got gathered them women up in church and said, "Listen here, you hens." I said, "Where was you when you was her age? Amen. I said, what were you doing at her age? Amen. I said, I dare one of you to get stand up and give a testimony of what God done in your life and how God's been using you. I said, you've done that, so shut your mouth. She's got more far better progress than you'll ever make. I don't know about you, but I'm for the young people. Well, probably the only church on Resurrection got more young people than adults. And you know what? They put up with me. And you know what? The young people are the ones that are just alive in our church. And they got a vision. You know that boy, that Jonathan, he surrendered when he was 14 years old. He's been preaching ever since. He's preaching for me while I'm over here. That young man ain't afraid. He got a vision. He knows what God wants to do with him. He said one day, he said, preacher, is there not a cost? And I said, yes, there is, son. He said, preacher, I'll stay with you. I want to be used. David said, I want to be used of God, and I believe God can use me. I'll tell you what, we have a cause today. We have a cause to pray. We have a cause to preach. We have a cause to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. I'll tell you what, listen, you got a cause to pray tonight. Hey, we need churches revived tonight. Amen. Churches need to get fire built up in the church, in the pulpits. Amen. In the pews. We need that today. Not only that, but you know what? We also need not only the churches to be revived, but we need the restoration of the Christian. Well, I tell you, nothing like a good prayer meeting. Bring a backslider back. Amen. Get them right with God. Not only that, but you know what? It's also good for us to reveal God's will for our life. You want to be used of God? Get a vision, young people. Get a vision. I mean, you don't have to be old to do something for God. You may not get old. You might only have 1 year left. This might be the last year to do something for God. Somebody said, I'll wait till I retire. I'll wait till I win that money or I'll go get my retirement. No, no, that's too late. God wants you now. Amen. We stand up tonight like the singer said, I choose Jesus. I choose the Lord. You stand up and say, I choose God tonight. I'll tell you, Christian, we need to understand tonight that our young people, you know, this is going to be the strength of our churches. But we need to get behind them. We need to tell them, hey, you better just get there and do great things for the Lord. And I'll tell you, do it now. Amen. Some of you, you know what? We like to discourage young people. When Joseph had that dream, everybody said, he's just nothing but a dreamer. Well, know what he turned out to be. The Savior of Israel. From the bondage of slavery. God used him. He wasn't nothing. But I'll tell you, there's some great young people in the Bible that have been used of God because they were visionaries. They believed that God was going to use them. All they said, like David said, I want God to use me and I believe He can use me. Not only that, but you know what? He had a valorous spirit. In verse number 32, the Bible said, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. You know, Jesus was a boy doing a man's job. I mean, listen, if Jesus could do that and He's your Savior, bless God, get you an ounce of guts and a gallon of God. Go do something for the Lord. You know, one of the things I learned recently was, you know, my boy, you know, he surrendered when he was 17 and he surrendered as a preacher at 17 and he started pastoring at 17. And every week he called me and said, Dad, what do I do here? And I go help him, and boy, I can tell you what, sometime in where all your patience. Then one day I told him, I said, you know what? I talked to Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie said, one of these days he's going to quit calling you. He's going to get a hold of God. He said, just go ahead and endure hardness for a little bit, he said. But I tell you, one day that day came, amen. And God turned out a good preacher. And one day he was preaching. I mean, he's shelling the corn. He's getting with it. Boy, I'm telling you, he's just a preacher. And he got on the preachers. And preachers, man, I could tell their face, their countenance changed. They said, how dare that young preacher say stuff like that? And later one of them walked over and he said, Brother Terrence, he said, I like that message. But he said, why do you have to preach so aggressive? I don't think there's any need for it. And my boy got up and he said, the reason why I preach aggressive, because you can't do that. Amen. You won't do it. You won't preach aggressively. So I've got to go and preach aggressively. And I said, tell him, son. Amen. Keep telling him. Amen. Some of you young boys right here, amen, listen, you're not too young. Roll your sleeve up, amen, and listen, declare war on the devil and stand up for your pastor. Stand up for your church. Take up a King James Bible. Start preaching the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, think about that. Raising Jesus and David and all these men did a man's job as boys because, you know what? The men were not men. Listen, if you don't start being a man tonight, you know what? You need to start acting like a man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You need to walk like one. You need to talk like one.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You need to think like one. You need to work like one. One of the scariest things in my life is to take a young man's hand and shake it like you're shaking a fish. Clammy, and just limp. I said, bless God, you're a man. Shake that hand. Amen. I got women in my church, and Brother Charlie, and they will testify. Them out there. Them women, take your arm off. Amen. I mean, they got a grip on them. And somebody come to my church and go like that. I say, you need to shake one of these ladies' hands. And I'll tell them ladies, I say, show no mercy. Listen, you're going to be a man. Listen, what? Hey, let's do it now. Learn how to talk like a man. Walk like a man. Walk like a man. Don't wait till later. Do it now. Did you notice that the Bible mentions no teenagers? It just mentions children and men. Which one are you? There are adults, but Jesus is looking for boys to do a man's job. I'm telling you what, we need men with valor of spirit. Not afraid. Amen. Not put their tail between their legs and run. No. Goliath said, give me a man to fight. I want a man, he said. And all the men hid. And one that came up and said, David, you need to hide over here too. He said, don't you know that's a giant? He said, you don't belong in this battle. David probably stood there and said, what battle? I see you hiding behind a rock. Ain't nobody fighting here.
Yeah.
Said, crank it up. Crank it up. You know, he said, I got a cause. Not only that, but I want you to notice, look at the end, verse 32. The Bible says, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Number three, he had a volunteer spirit.
Amen.
He said, thy servant will go. Boy, amen, I like that. You know, Jesus went to Calvary. Nobody forced him. Nobody said, you got to go. He willingly went to Calvary. He willingly laid his head on the cross.
Amen.
Hey, that cross event was voluntary. And then he comes back and he said, take up your cross and follow me. That's voluntary. He wants you to pick up your cross and follow him. And voluntary. You know, we volunteer for just about anything. The PTA. The boys softball team. All this kind of stuff that people do. I don't know what you all do out here, but we got people volunteering for the hospital back home. And we couldn't even find a good doctor that knew what he was doing when we was trying to get our niece some help. Ain't that funny? I mean, people, you know, volunteer for just about anything. Salvation Army. Why not volunteer for God's work?
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, during the Vietnam War era, you know, I was so mad at my mom and dad because the high school that I was going to, the sophomore year, kicked me out of school because I was a troublemaker. And they took me back to the border town where I was staying. They loaded my clothes up on Christmas and said, bye, don't come back. I was mad, so then my mom and dad put me in another school down the road, and I had to go to school from my brother's house. Of course, my brother was a drunk, and I immediately had to take care of his kids, and I had to go make sure that I run errands for his wife, and he's out there just drinking.
Yeah.
And all the time I'm doing that, I learned up some bad habits from him. And I started doing that. And pretty soon, the juvenile officer was on my tail. Pretty soon, I was making trouble everywhere. And one day the juvenile officer got together with my mom and dad and he said, I'll tell you what we'll do. The way we're going to get rid of your trouble is you come to my office and we'll take care of this problem today. And that day I came over there and the juvenile officer put me in the vehicle. He handcuffed at me. My mom signed permission slip. And immediately, before I could blink an eye, I was in Fort Ord, California, United States Army. I didn't want no rules. I didn't want no regulations. I said, I'll just join the Army. I volunteered. And everybody was running to Canada or Mexico trying to get away from the military. A dumb old dummy here joined in voluntarily.
Yeah.
You know what? The first night at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and the drill sergeant, you know, he threw our beds over and he said, "Listen here." He said, "You maggots." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "How many of you got a mama?" And we all raised our hands. I said, "Forget her. I'm your mama." He said, "How many?" He said, "Raise your hand. How many of you got girlfriends?" And I raised my hand. He said, "Forget her." He said, this is your girlfriend." He gave us an M16. He said, "You sleep with that, you get to know her the best you can. One of these days, it's going to save your life." But all of a sudden, I woke up to rules and rules and rules. Young people, I want to tell you something. Thank God you're in a good old-fashioned Bible-believing, sin-hating church. Thank God there's rules over you. Thank God God appointed a man of God in this church to tend your heart, to preach the power out of you, to get on you when he needed to be. Why? Because, hey, that's what makes us what we are. But you know what? We just volunteer. Get you to volunteer for something. Amen. You know, in God's economy, Brother Charlie said this tonight, we're all afraid to give money. Do you realize tonight, whether you like it or not, you're in God's economy? And as long as He's on the throne, He ain't never going to go broke. Heaven ain't never going to go broke. You know, the gas price is going up. That's just an opportunity for God to do a miracle for us. Amen. I don't know, but we're still traveling, what, 1,500 miles out here?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's those men is raising their hand to give money. You wonder what the world they're going to go back on. It's called faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
God got this figured out. See, some of you sitting back there with pencil and paper trying to figure God out. Hey, you're not going to figure God out.
Yeah.
You might as well get on board and say, "I'm a volunteer.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just a grunt. Yeah. Amen. I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
I'm glad the commander-in-chief knows everything."
Yeah.
Get people from volunteering, trying to figure God out. You know, it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, the Bible says. You know, I'll tell you something. You know what? You think about Josiah, 8 years old. The Bible says, you know what? He dedicated himself. 8-year-old boy. Know that he dedicated himself, but you know what? As soon as he dedicated, got his heart right, God allowed him to discover a book. He found a book. It was the right book. Then he went to book, and with his life, you know what? He destroyed the idols. He brought revival to Israel. The young boy. Don't sit there and say, "I'm just young. I am not at age yet. I can't do it." Hey, if an 8-year-old boy can do it, certainly you can. Young lady, certainly you can live for God. Certainly you can do something for the Lord. You know what? Teachers, preachers, you don't know who you have. Some of these young people, you know what? They aggravate you. They get you mad, but you never know who you got. Let me read you something. 4 boys were out playing, and a Christian Sunday school teacher walked by on his way to church, and he spotted these 4 boys sitting on the side of the street. He invited them to go with him to church, promising them to start a new Sunday school class with these 4, and they accepted his invitation. And he had taught all these boys. Years went by, and all them boys grew up, and they scattered. And then in 1932, it was the teacher's birthday. And he received letters from each one of the 4 original members. One had become a missionary to China. One was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank. One was the private secretary to President Herbert Hoover. And the 4th was President Hoover. How about that? You don't know who you got in here. Amen. Hardly ever recognize a lot of these people, you know, that have been coming here many years. And a lot of them growed up, married. But I'll tell you what, we don't know who we got. Best that we do our best for the Lord. You know, when I got saved in that little church, you know, my preacher would challenge the people. There were several people already saved in that church. I'm talking adults. And they were saved in that church, you know. And you know, he would get up here and he would say, "Would somebody volunteer? We need to run across a river over here and knock some doors. Would somebody volunteer to go with me? So, one of you men, could you do that tonight?" And then he'd say stuff like, you know, "Could we have a volunteer to clean the church?"
Yeah, come on.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm just a week old in the Lord. And none of the men are moving. And a bunch of them ladies, you know, they're checking their wigs or whatever. And the men, they're looking for flies in the ceiling or their shoes are untied. You know what? And I looked around and I thought, man, he's not talking to them. He's talking to me. I just got saved, so he wants me to do it. So I jumped up and said, "Preacher, I'll go." And my boy stood up beside me and said, Daddy, I'm going too. Man, that following week, he gave us a 6-2 passenger bus, and we started running the bus up. And man, we got behind that bus, and we put a big sign in the back that said, Salvation Wagon. Man, we drove down the street, and my son knocked on the door, and we picked people up, we load people up, bring them to church. We was having a good time. And there were them deadheads. They were still sitting there. I didn't know that, you know, it was talking to them. All I knew was God said, you know, son, if God's burning in your soul the will to go do something. Hey, my boy was 7 years old. I mean, he came on every bus route. I mean, listen, now, there was things that we were doing that people just couldn't believe. It's no surprise at 17 he surrendered to preach. Answered the call to God. And now he's a preacher. There's men like that in our church. Like I said the other night, we got a man in the Marine Corps. He's in Djibouti as a missionary from our church. It's a blessing. You know what? We only had $600. And I prayed, you know, my niece said, you guys go on to camp meeting? I'll be all right. So my wife and I, we prayed for money, and we only had $600. And I said, well, that's one-way ticket. We'll just buy 2 one-way tickets, and we'll get to the camp meeting, and God will figure that out. You know, you say, that's foolish. Well, that's not foolish. That's faith. Jesus, trust the Lord, you know. Hey, you don't believe me, you come out the reservation and live with us for a while. We don't have running water. We're still running it from the creeks. There's a lot of things God does out there you could not even imagine. Sometimes we get some of these folks out there, boy, I'm telling you, they're nitpicky. I mean, they're afraid to set foot on things out there. But I'll tell you what, we just have time by life. So we said, I told my wife, I said, we'll just buy one-way tickets. So then the phone rang. And here's this missionary from Djibouti, Brother Levi. He calls and he tells his wife, he said, just give him $700. He said, let him go to camp meeting. So the wife says, here we're supposed to give you $740. She said, I will keep putting on some more money here. And she said, she gave us some money there. And man, we had a round-trip ticket. You know, that boy did not do that just because he likes me. He'd done that because he knew many times God worked in his heart. You know what he told me? He said, preacher, you've done more for me than anybody's ever done. He said, the least I could do is help you when you need help.
Amen.
And you know what? It's no surprise he's a missionary in Djibouti because, you know, that's all he'd done when he was at home. Work, do something. Water need to be hauled. He hauled the water to church. I mean, do things, and he'd just go out and do it. And he'd come up to me and he said, you know, preacher, I'm going to go haul some water. And I'll be back later.
Amen.
I mean, just volunteer.
Amen.
Man, I think about that, you know. I have some men, you know, in our churches, you know, that really get excited about it. Then I saw a man there just indifferent. They don't want to do nothing for the Lord.
Yeah.
Young people, don't let that hinder you.
Amen.
Amen. You get in this thing, I'll tell you what. Just say, God, I won't have the right attitude. He said, how can I do it? Pray hard. Steady. Prepare yourself. Be used for the Lord. Amen. You know, last night when he got on, people was kind of taking laps. And Jeremiah jumped up over here and he ran over here. Everybody's trying to figure out what he was doing, running the wrong direction. And he picked up that trumpet. And he blew that trumpet. I knew where he was going. When they started singing that song about the value of a soul, I said, he's fixing to make a beeline for that trumpet. During camp meeting, he would get up in the morning and he'd say, preacher, what time you want me to blow the horn? I said, 6:45. 6:45 on the money. He'd get out there and on the highest point, he'd go, do, 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 do. Wake everybody up. Then at night, 15 minutes before curfew, before lights out, he go ahead and he play taps.
Yeah.
Nobody told him to do that. He just wanted what time to do that. He wanted to do that. I appreciate that. That's our official bugler at the youth camp. Got the people all stirred up. Then we got to singing that song. He got that trumpet and he started blowing that horn. Oh, I'm telling you what, that stirred me up. I like it when it gets good. It got good. Why? Because young people are volunteering. They're getting their lives over to the Lord. God using them. Well, you think about that. I need some volunteers tonight, God is saying. God said that day, who will go fight for me? Who will step forth?
Amen.
David said, I'll be that man. He went forth. I want to say it also. He had a victorious spirit. Look with me again in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Look with me at two verses there. Verse 46. The Bible said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take from thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. David said, I must be used of God and God will give the victory. Amen. I like his spirit. Tell you what, David's over there. Everybody took off. He said, okay, here we go. He took a stone, put it in that sling, and the Bible said he ran towards the giant. I mean, he took it and he swung it once. Once for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and he let it rip. And right between the eye, and the giant went down. He ran over there and he took his sword out. He said, we're not going to take no chance with him. He took that sword out and he said, bear it in his likeness. Boom! Cut his head off. And he took up the head and said, raised in newness of life. I mean, he grabbed that thing around. He said, look, this giant is so big you could miss him. Amen. I got him, amen. He said, you're not going to bow down my God no more. You're not going to run down my crowd no more. Hey, we need some people tonight to get some victorious spirit and say, hey, I'm with the right. Hey, I'm with the cleansed. I'm with the pure. You're not going to run us down no more. We got something to prove. We have a cause. Amen. We got a God that won at Calvary. He never lost a battle. We're following the greatest man alive. Hey, he never lost anything. It's worth it for us to follow him and win. Hey, we live for victory. Take the victory. Hey, like my pastor said, me and God are majority. I believe that's what David said.
Amen.
Hey, little young people, it's not how old you are that God will use you, but it's, do you want God to use you?
Amen.
Do you want God to use you tonight? Yeah. Are you through with your foolishness? Paul said, when I was a child, I played with things as a child. But he said, now I put childish things away. Some of you young men, it's about time you put away your play toys. Some of us men that grew up with nothing, we didn't have a toy. We didn't have nothing. We just improvised. We didn't have to worry about digging into daddy's pocket, mama's pocket, and we didn't have to worry about kids getting spoiled. Everybody, you know, in my house, you just learn something. You take two blocks and you put a stick of nail through and just drag it through the dirt. That was your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Things that you did, you know, that you look back on. Now our kids are so spoiled. Listen, young people, it's good to have a pastor that encourages you. It's good to have a church that's behind you. But when the time comes when you have to stand alone, know that God is with you. I've heard people say it all this time. They say, you know what? God said, you know, in His Word, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come here, brother. Come here, grab my lube here. We say this, well, I got out of the will of God. And so I'm getting away from God. I'm just going to turn from God. And then we preach. We say, you turn away from God, go, come back to God. I got news for you. If He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, all you got to do is turn. He's right there. And when He's right there, you can't lose. Thank you, brother. He said, I'll be with you always. Man, we're on the winning side. You know what? America, she's turned. Kind of turned tail. And it's put an atmosphere like that in our churches. I don't know where America's headed, but I sure do know where the church's headed. Hey, the church is going up. The church is never going to be defeated. Folks, Bible Christianity is a battle that we can never lose. Our Savior secured it. I'm telling you what, folks, it's one of those things that you and I can look at and not have no doubts about it. You know what David said? He said, isn't anybody going to do something? Where's everybody running to? God said, step forward. And I'll use you.
Amen.
I believe that I thought of this, you know, the last words of Goliath probably, man, that boy can shoot. No.
Yeah.
No, he said, boy, that man can shoot.
Amen. How about that?
The power of God is what makes you a man. The power of God is what's going to make you the kind of servant God wants you to be. How many of you tonight, serious about God using you? Are you usable? We read tonight and we preached a little bit about a young man, a boy that did a man's job. A boy was called to do a man's job. Tells you tonight, you're not too young. You got some things, you got some dreams tonight. Young people, you got some aspirations tonight about what you could do. Would to God, I was where you're at. I was 27 when I got saved. The reason why I preach this way and I do what I do. My son and I, we got two churches going all the time. Going between them. And you know what? The reason is because, you know what? We ain't got time. But we want young people. We need young people to surrender their life and do something for God now. Will you do that? Will you say tonight, I want to take up some courage tonight. I want a valorous spirit. I want to have a volunteer spirit tonight. I'm going to surrender my life. Will you say tonight, man, I appreciate that victorious spirit. I appreciate my Savior. Because He's a winner, I want to be a winner for Him. Would you do that tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to pray. How about some of the adults? Yeah, we messed up. We started late. But you know what? It's not so late to catch this kind of spirit. God's showing you some things you need to do. Is there an area in your life that you've kind of been defeated? You can't seem to win over? Won't you come to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. You never lost a battle. I need you to stand in for me. I need you to overcome. We're going to pray. You need to come. You come. Father, we ask you tonight to bless our service. God, we just want to be able to accomplish some things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, ain't nothing like doing the work for God. The greatest job in the world, Lord God. It's an adventure. It's something that God, just beyond explanation. God, where else can we do something for a God that we love? A God that saved us. And then reap the benefits that's unbelievable. With joy unspeakable. Nowhere. God, I'm so glad you saved me. So glad, God, you put me in the ministry. Count me faithful. God, tonight, I trust that tonight you will call some young men, some young ladies, God, to do something for you. That they may stand, God, and do work for you while others are not. Father, they may not be hindered. They might just plug in tonight to that power source and become great champions for the Lord. I ask you these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for His sake. Amen.